Make sure you are here every day at 1:55 for Fast Track. On one side of the coin, my sleeper team, Liberty, gets to the Sweet 16. On the other side of the coin, it's a pipe dream. Call it in the air.
Tails, it's a pipe dream. Colgate is the sleeper team.
Which Jorge, way did it go, it? Jorge?
You said Tails.
John wins.
I did say Tails.
John wins. Okay, got it.
All right, I will defer. There is no advantage that comes
None
with that.
Whatsoever. All right, the Houston Texans agreed to a one-year deal with Tyrod Taylor on Tuesday. Taylor's deal reportedly worth up to $12 million. He had three productive seasons in Buffalo, 15, 16, and 17, completed 62% of his passes, about 9,000 yards, 51 touchdowns, and 16 picks. Does this mean that Houston is on the verge of trading Deshaun Watson?
I think Deshaun Watson is going to be traded, but they needed to sign a quarterback anyway. They had no other quarterbacks under contract. Last year, Tyrod Taylor was a backup
in San Diego,
and you then said San Diego. They actually play in Los Angeles now, but
yeah,
he was a backup there, and so I think that's backup money, basically $12 million.
Yeah,
so he could be an insurance policy, but I still believe Deshaun Watson's getting traded. I think he's going to be playing in either Denver or San Francisco by the time the season starts.
God, can't be San Francisco. By the way, I saw Adam Schefter today say Houston not expected to do anything until at least the draft. At least the draft. All right, it's to you.
All right, Mace. Two weeks ago, Rams defensive lineman Michael Brockers was walking through LAX when TMZ did one of those walking interviews they do with celebrities. One of the questions that the TMZ reporter asked Brockers was if Matthew Stafford was a level up from Jared Goff, and if Stafford gave the Rams a better chance to win the Super Bowl. Brockers answered, quote, "Is it a level up in my heart, deeply? Just understand what Stafford brings. It's a level up over Goff. It's a level up." Yesterday, the Rams traded Brockers to Detroit, where his starting quarterback is now Jared Goff.
Yep.
If you're Brockers, do you reach out to Goff and apologize for this, or do you just let it go?
I mean, I would let it go. There's a chance that Jared Goff doesn't read TMZ. It happened amidst a whole bunch of – I mean, let's face it. When that trade went down, everybody bagged on Goff. Everybody.
Right.
So I think the fact that Michael Brockers sort of piled on at that point –
Mace, I should add that I watched the TMZ tape. I was actually going to play it, but he's wearing a mask and they're in an airport, so it wasn't as clear as could be. He wasn't disrespectful to Goff. He was very friendly with the guy, and you know, he was trying to catch a plane. And I don't know if you've ever seen those TMZ interviews, but normally they're very invasive. You don't want to talk. Brockers does not come across as a bad guy or like he's slamming Goff, but it's gone viral.
Yeah.
If I'm Brockers, I send a text to Goff and say, "Hey, man, I'm kind of embarrassed by that TMZ thing. I hope you didn't take it as that I would be anything but totally supportive. Glad to be playing with you again. See you at camp." I would probably bring it up.
You would? Yeah. I would ignore it and hope he doesn't see it.
Well, I think it's a little late for that.
It's always
it's
easier.
To you.
It's always easier to Fast talk track. Behind somebody's back. All right. By the way, Fast Track is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes.
Fast Track.
Actress Rosamund Pike
generally
plays crazy women in movies. She was the girl in Gone Girl. She's the scammer in the new Netflix movie, I Care a Lot. Have you seen that?
No, but she's great, and she's in a Bond movie, too, and she's really good in that.
You got to watch I Care a Lot. It is so good. She appeared on Ellen last week, and she was asked what she does with her awards because she just won the Golden Globe. She said she buries them in her garden. She says, quote, "I find it an uneasy thing to display any award in your home. How do people interact with them when they come home? Do they say, 'Oh, wow, look, those are your awards'? I think it's awkward, so I bury them in the garden with a little bit showing up so you can have an enticing glimpse of a hand or a globe." What does this say about her psychologically?
I don't think it says anything. I think that it says she doesn't want to be defined as an actress, that's just part of her life. For example, if you come to my house,
yes,
and I think this is pretty much true for your house too, You could not tell I am a sportscaster. There's nothing up here unless you come upstairs to my office where I have some memorabilia and stuff laying around. But if you were in my house and walking around my house, there's no sportscaster indicators. If I was to walk through your house, would I know that a sportscaster lived there?
I've got a football from the Dallas Cowboys game, a game ball.
That's it, though. I mean, anybody could have that.
And my Bob Miller awards.
Yeah.
That are right in my, right when you walk in the door. They are right there. What does that say about me, that those are not buried in the garden? They are actually front and center.
Well, you have often, as I always say about you, you be you. You have openly admitted that you're all about the awards. If you won a Golden Globe Award, it would probably be the hood ornament on your car.
Yeah, I am. Here's the truth, people. I am, and this is, you got to take this into account with everything. I'm desperately insecure. I need those awards.
Most people in this business are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm seeking praise as much as possible.
With good reason, by the way. We're one bad show away from getting canned.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just the way the world works.
All right, John, it's to you.
Okay, Mace, remember Mike Bolsinger?
Fast track.
Yeah,
the former
sure.
Dodger pitcher. He's now 33 years old. He's suing the Astros, saying that their cheating scandal essentially and fraudulently ended his career. After pitching for the Dodgers in 2016, he pitched for Toronto in 2017. In his last major league appearance, August 4th, 2017, in Houston, he gave up 4 runs in 1/3 of an inning. Of his 29 pitches, according to his lawsuit, 12 were preceded by trash can bangs, since revealed as signals alerting Astro batters that an off-speed pitch was coming.
Yes.
The next day, the Blue Jays designated him for assignment. His career record is 8-19 with a 4.92 ERA, and he's never been able to make it back to the bigs. Yesterday, a Los Angeles judge ruled Bolsinger can't sue the Astros in California. So now if he wants to continue his lawsuit, he has to move it to Texas. He's asking for lost wages and that the Astros be ordered to pay $31 million in restitution, an amount believed to be equal to their postseason award bonuses in 2017. He wants that money to go to charities. Most legal experts think Bolsinger cannot win because he can't prove that this was the sole reason his career blew up. What do you think? Should Bolsinger keep this lawsuit going or take a loss here?
I think he should take a loss. I mean, you know, the year before the cheating scandal, he was 1-4 with a 6.83 ERA.
Right.
That's before the cheating scandal.
Well, think about this. You and I hate the Astros and think they cheated, and it sounds like neither one of us would support his lawsuit. And we hate the Astros. We're biased. So you'd have to get an unbiased jury to side with him.
Yeah. I mean, the problem, if he was good, if he was pitching well and then the Astros hit him and he was done, I would say he has a case. But he was bad before he got to the Astros.
And that's exactly what the Astros lawyers are going to do if this thing ever goes to trial.
Yeah.
I know he believes in his heart the Astros ended his career, but I don't think he can win this case. I'm with you. I think he should drop the lawsuit.
All right. It's to me.
Yeah.
L.A. restaurants are being reopened for indoor dining on a limited basis. John, you've been going out to eat, eating on patios,
outdoor dining,
all
the whole
that
time.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Now, this is a big change that's taken place. What is the first restaurant that you want to go to? What is the perfect dining experience that you want to go to and eat indoors for the first time?
Well, I've been going to all my favorite restaurants, and they've all figured out a way to have me eat outdoors.
Yes.
And I actually have the reverse answer to your question. I'm going to continue to eat outdoors if they will allow it. Manhattan Beach has kind of re-established outdoor dining. It's like Paris down here now. I mean, every restaurant has a really nice outdoor dining setup. My favorite restaurant is in downtown Manhattan Beach. It's a place called Slay, S-L-A-Y.
Right.
It's owned by a guy named David Slay who I felt really bad for during the pandemic. He got COVID, got a really bad case of it, survived it, but he had to fire most of his employees. He owns 2 or 3 restaurants down there. And now he's back up and running and Slay's open, and that's where I'm looking forward to going. But if David still has the option to sit outside, I would pick that first.
Is that because of safety or just because it's nice to eat outside?
It's nice to eat outside and both. And it's just, matter of fact, this exact situation came up the other day. We went to a place in Playa del Rey. We went with another couple. And when we walked in, they had kind of big open windows. And they said, do you want to sit indoor or out? And Lisa immediately said, we want out. So that was, she was saying for safety.
Yeah.
What place are you looking forward to going?
I cannot wait to go get a steak at Boa.
So you go to the one in Santa Monica. There's one in West Hollywood, too.
The one in West Hollywood is too much of a scene. Boa's got nice outdoor seating. I would love to go get a New York strip, 40-day dry-aged, fantastic, the best steak in town. That would be my choice of the first place I want to go to when I'm actually allowed to sit inside the restaurant. All right, it's to you.
All right, Mace. Fast track. USA Today has a list of the top 48 movies streaming on Netflix right now.
Yep.
Now, do you have something you can write something down with?
Yeah.
You've seen everything,
yes.
And I've seen almost nothing.
Right.
So I picked four critically acclaimed movies that I haven't seen, but my guess is you've seen all four. And I just want you to put them in order. Prioritize which one I really need to see and which one I can wait for, okay?
Got it.
So here are the four. Django Unchained, Fruitvale Station, The Irishman, and There Will Be Blood. I haven't seen any of them. Have you seen all four of those?
I've seen all four.
All right. So which one of those four did it pop into your head? I can't believe you haven't seen it. This is the first one you should watch.
Django Unchained is the one that
That's Tarantino,
I can't believe
right?
you haven't watched. Tarantino. It's got
DiCaprio,
Jamie
Foxx.
Christoph Waltz won the Oscar for it. It's great.
Okay.
Number two, I think, is There Will Be Blood, which is...
That won an Oscar, too, right? For
Daniel Day-Lewis won Best Actor for that. It's about I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. That's like one of the big lines in it. So I love that one. Fruitvale Station is a really important movie. I would call it...
That's Michael B. Jordan, right?
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan. It's a difficult watch. It's a difficult subject, but should be seen. And
what's the elevator pitch on Fruitvale Station? Like the 10 seconds, what's it about?
Shot on
subway. So there's death, and it's a serious movie.
Okay,
got it.
And then I would put The Irishman at number four. Here's the thing with The Irishman. You can Google this. Divide it into three parts. If you divide it into three parts, it's very watchable. It's like a miniseries. But to sit and watch the whole thing like I did in a theater is a challenge, I would think is a challenge for you. So I would break it up into three parts and watch The Irishman. But that would be the fourth on the list.
Okay. You want to do one more or are we done?
Let's do one more.
Okay.
Because I think
it's to you.
Okay. So we know that Page Six has said A-Rod and J-Lo may be breaking up. They've said, no, maybe we're not. Maybe there was a Southern Charm star, Madison LaCroix, involved, but we don't really know the details. John, does it work for two famous people to be married? I'm trying to think of couples where it's been successful, where both are famous.
All right, there are very few. I'll give you some, though, because you know this is right up my alley.
Yeah, this is your wheelhouse.
The best example, and he's obviously passed away recently, is Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward.
Yeah, that's a great one.
They were married young, stayed together forever, the love of each other's life. It was very good. You know another one that's lasted? I played in a charity event once with Mark Harmon, who is about as nice of a guy as you'll ever meet. And he's married to Pam Dauber, who played Mindy on Mork and Mindy.
Yes, that's a good one.
And they've been together their whole lives. Like, they were basically married when they were young and famous and stayed together the whole time. Overwhelmingly, though, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Two famous people. You used to have a great line about this. You used to say, I can't date anyone with a headshot. Now, of course, you and Juan both have headshots.
Correct. Juan is an actor.
So you got to be careful as to what you do. You just need to meet the right headshot.
Well, when you meet the right person, you just throw out all the rules.
Right.
A few more. Kevin Bacon and Kyra Sedgwick.
Yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick.
Right.
That's a good one. But I think it's tough. Because one person needs to be the front person, and one person needs to be the one who actually does all the work.
Well, you've often said in your relationship, Juan does all the work, right?
Well, and he sort of runs the entire operation.
Right, right.
Isn't Lisa that for you?
Oh, I'm just a... My situation is more one-sided than yours. I don't know where anything is in this house. I don't know where the money is that we have. I don't know. I literally just show up when she tells me to and then, keep moving. But I think a lot of relationships are like that.
All right. There is your fast track for today. Coming up next, John, do you have your final four done?
Yeah, I did last night.
Let's do our final fours.
I fear
coming up next
that your final four and my final four are almost, if not identical. I hope they're
not.
I hope they're not. But
okay. We'll do that. And by the way, Dick Vitale is coming up at 2:30, so make sure you're here for that. We'll bounce our final fours off him. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And don't forget, you can join our NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge, our March Madness Challenge. Just go to our ESPN Los Angeles Twitter handle. It is pinned right at the top. Sign up. And John, not kidding. Now, not all these people are necessarily active, but there are 70,000 people in our group.
Good.
Yeah, so, and we've got our final fours all set. You say you're afraid they're going to be very similar.
Yeah, I hope not, but... Do you want me to just give you the final four, or do you want me to give you, like, the biggest upsets I picked?
Yeah, give me the teams that you've got in the Sweet 16 who would be the unexpected teams.
Okay, USC, who's
yep,
the
me
six.
Too.
I've got them in the Sweet 16. I have the winner of the Michigan State-UCLA game going to the Sweet 16. I think it's probably going to be Michigan State, but I think whoever wins that game between Michigan State and UCLA will beat BYU, and then I have that team beating Texas.
Wow.
So I have so they're the highest Sweet 16.
That would be an 11 over a 3.
Right. That's the highest seeded team I have. On the other side, I have Texas Tech, who's a 6.
Yep.
And then that's it. Everything else is chalk.
I've got UCSB, the Gauchos, as a 12 going to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
I've got USC winning 2 games. They're a 6. I've got UConn as a 7 winning 2 games. And then my big sleeper, Liberty, I've got going to the Sweet 16. That would mean a win over Oklahoma. That's a 13 over a 4, followed by a win over potentially Tennessee. I've got Liberty.
What is the biggest upset you picked? Did you pick any 14, 15s, or 16s to win?
Yeah, I picked Liberty, a 13 over Oklahoma,
well,
a 4.
Yeah, they're 13. So that 13's as high as you went for an upset?
That's as high as I went.
I have a 14 winning.
Which one?
Colgate over Arkansas.
I'm not buying on Colgate.
All right, I only have winning one game. I have them winning one game and then losing in the next round to Texas Tech.
Okay, beating Arkansas and then going to Texas Tech. All right, so there you have. There are the big sleeper picks. So, Final Four. Okay. By the way, Dick Vitale coming up for you in 10 minutes.
No, I'm just hoping ours are different.
All right? Me too.
In the West, Gonzaga.
Yeah, me too.
All right. In the East, Alabama.
Alabama. I got Florida State.
Oh, good. Okay. In the South, Ohio State.
Yep, I've got Ohio State.
And in the Midwest, Illinois.
And I've got Illinois. We have 3 of the 4 the same.
All right. Now, hopefully we have a different championship game.
Yeah.
In the championship game, I have Gonzaga against Illinois.
That's exactly the championship game that I have.
And my champion, I think this is where Gonzaga gets tripped. I picked Illinois to win it all.
And I picked Illinois to win it all.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully we'll have enough different early. That's unbelievable. We didn't even talk about this.
No, we had no conversation whatsoever. We have 3 of the same Final Four in the same championship game and the same champion.
I think we have enough different early that we won't be, like, tied or anything.
Right.
Lindsay, did you fill yours out yet?
I'm like halfway through it. Okay. All I know is that I did not, like, contrary to what Mason thinks, I did not pick Cleveland State to get to like the Final Four like he wants to think that I did. But I do think OU
is going
to...
Do you have them beating Houston in the first round?
No. No, I don't. I wish I did. They're pretty good.
I have Houston winning three games.
I have OU winning the first round, and I think I might put them in the second one, too.
Who are they? No, who are
Ohio
they?
Ohio U.
Oh, they played Virginia early. They could win that game, Lindsay. Virginia has a COVID situation.
I know. I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, that could be it. Now, are there fans at these games in Indianapolis?
It's a very good question. I do not know the capacity of those things. Actually, you know what? I read this
I think there is.
Will Leach from New York Magazine. Is that right, Will Leach?
He used to be the editor-in-chief of Deadspin.
So he wrote this for New York Magazine. This came out yesterday. Sports have a financial incentive to keep pushing the envelope. If COVID numbers continue to fall, and with the deluge of vaccines and the warm weather coming, they are expected to, it stands to reason that things will just get more crowded. Assuming that WrestleMania and the Rangers full capacity events aren't super spreaders, if that could even be determined, the gates will just open wider and wider. The Atlanta Braves are already preparing for a full capacity crowd at the All-Star game they're hosting in July, and by then it surely won't have been the first one. There's every reason to believe stands will be full of fans by May, if not before.
All right, so somebody emailed me with a crazy idea the other day, and I didn't give it much thought, but let me throw it out there and see what you guys think. All right? So have either one of you guys ever been to a Final Four that's played in a basically what's a football stadium? Like, I've been to the Final Four twice at the Superdome.
I've been to Indy. I've been to...
Well, if you went in Indy, then that was played in the Hoosier Dome.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I was there for Indy.
So it's a way you can fit really however many fans you want in there. Normally for the Final Fours, the college Final Fours, they put about 40 or 50,000 in there. The NBA All-Star Game one year as an experiment in Dallas in 2010 put 110,000 people in Jerry World for a basketball game. So somebody said to me, it was just a question, if the Lakers played the Clippers in the Western Conference playoffs, or if the Lakers make the finals.
Yep.
What do you think about putting the finals at SoFi?
That's interesting, because then you're talking about an outdoor venue.
Right, but can't you control the climate?
Oh, yeah, you totally can.
The slats in the roof, if it was raining, can I close them completely?
Yeah, see, I don't know that. It's a translucent roof, but there's a lot of breeze. There's a lot of cross breeze at SoFi.
But does it have the ability to become enclosed if we needed to close it? And by the way, think about this. It would be in July, you wouldn't necessarily have to close it for temperature. You might have to close it for rain, but it doesn't rain in July very often.
No. By the way, for this year's tournament, fan capacity is being capped at 25% for each venue.
Okay.
So 25% full.
But, you know, when the Lakers played the Pistons one year in the NBA Finals, they played those in the Silver Dome.
Right.
The old Detroit Lions football stadium, and just packed it with fans. But that was a completely enclosed roof. The finals have been at the King Dome in Seattle. Next time you talk to Kevin Demoff, ask him if that would be an option.
Could you
close SoFi if you wanted to? Now, I don't necessarily think this would be great for the Lakers because they've got a home court advantage at Staples and they're used to playing there. But it would be a financial windfall for the team if they wanted to go that way, you know. And it would let more fans in, because 25% of SoFi is way more than 25% of Staples.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know,
although next time I talk to Kevin, I will. I'm angling for a vice president of something job over there.
I like that plan.
Yeah, vice president of something. So here's the thing, though, John. I mean, I am feeling now. Maybe I'm just way more confident and optimistic than everybody else, but I am planning on throwing a Labor Day party this year.
I think that is overly optimistic.
You think it's overly optimistic? The Mason Labor Day party.
I think you should.
I think you should stick with your Christmas party.
Fauci said today that he thinks it's perfectly reasonable to expect most of the population to be vaccinated by 4th of July.
Right, but I think,
big Labor Day party.
Yeah, I think some people still won't be ready to, because parties at your house, I've been to parties at your house, people are very, it's very packed in. You know, like, it's not, like, when you stand outside and talk, you know, you invite enough people where it feels like a party, like a packed in party. I don't know if people are ready to do that in September. Why not buy yourself the 3 more months and do it in December?
Yeah, I just think people are looking to bust out, man. I'm going to open the bar. I am going to serve them up big. We are going to have every bit of food that we can possibly have here. It's going to go all night long. We're going to rage.
The one thing you could do is just make sure the party was basically in your backyard. You have a great backyard.
Yeah, we'd have a big backyard. Yeah, that would work. That would work. Yeah, I just think people are itching for something. All right, coming up next for you, Dick Vitale. Dickie V is going to join us, and I want to thank Kiki, who I bought 3 candles from her. They're scented by Jake. They've got a picture of her dog on them, and they are great.
I got mine yesterday, but Lisa's birthday is Friday, and I bought her a couple for her birthday, and they came today.
Yeah, I love that she signed. She said, Steve, thank you. Love you lots. Kiki Shosh Karen.
Kiki.
She
operates by any
all
of those
names. We call her by.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Dickie V's coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NCAA tournament is upon us. The madness is officially here. Happy St. Patrick's Day. The tournament starts, of course, with the play-in games. And then Thursday, we'll start the big dance, as they say. And joining us right now is a guy who is associated with college basketball as anybody there is, the great Dick Vitale. Dickie V is here. Dick, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing really well, guys. John and Steve, it's a great time of the year. I mean, just that we're having a tournament is so exciting.
Yeah.
Just got a little bad news, though. I just heard a couple of kids are not going to be able to play. Oklahoma's losing a starter. Kansas, one of their star players, Jalen Wilson, come down with COVID. So, again, at least we got a tournament. That's the key. We're going to have a tournament.
Dick, you said it, and you know, we realize there's going to be hiccups and bumps in the road. We may even get a game canceled. Hope not. But I'm curious, Dick, you watch this stuff closer than we do. Give me one or two players that you've seen this year that you've really been impressed with. We have one out here, Evan Mobley, who to me looks like a really good future NBA player. But who else should we be looking at as we watch this tournament and kind of take in games? Who are you looking forward to seeing play?
Well, certainly, first of all, you go to Oklahoma State, they got the number one player who'll be taken in the NBA draft, Cade Cunningham. I had him in a game earlier this year against Oklahoma. He scored 40 points in an incredible game to win the game at the end. He's just so multi-talented. You mentioned Mobley. Mobley's had a terrific freshman year. He averaged 16.8 points a game, 8.6 rebounds, shot 58%. So I'm prepared for you. I got my notes here. But Mobley's a special kind of talent. Also, you go to Iowa, they can be carried to a championship by Luka Garza. He's a player of the year, 7-footer. He can score inside, outside. He's very talented. I mean, there are a lot of talented players. Look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga's got 3 that jump at me, Jalen Suggs, Corey Kispert, and also the big guy inside, Drew Timmy, and they're my team. Guys, I will tell you this. I didn't think in my lifetime again I'd see an unbeaten team. I think we're going to see it this year.
Really?
I think the Zags are going to go 32-0. I think they're going to win the national championship, and they're going to stand tall and match what Bob Knight did, the shy, introverted Mr. Knight, what he did in 76 when his Indiana team went unblemished.
So let me ask you, everybody's filling out their brackets right now, Dick, and they're looking for one of those schools in the first round that could be a big surprise, a big upset special. Who jumps out at you?
Ohio University, number 13 seed, playing a number 4 playing Virginia. They got a guard that'll probably be playing in the NBA. It'll be an NBA player from what I'm hearing from everyone, Jason Preston, 6'4". They lost by 2 points earlier this year to a great Illinois team who's one of my Final Four teams. So if they can play with Illinois, they can play with anybody. And they won the Mid-American Championship. So that's a game that jumps at me. I look at that, and that could possibly happen.
Dick, I'm a UCLA grad. Mick Cronin's done a really good job out here kind of rebuilding that program, which and it's hard to do now because your kids don't stay for more than a year or two. But he's got a group that on some nights looks great, on other nights underachieves. They've got to go play Michigan State, who's been sitting there in Indianapolis for a week. What chance do you give my Bruins to maybe win a play-in game or maybe even a game in the tournament?
Well, you know, first of all, you're 100% right what you said about UCLA and Mick Cronin. He's brought a special mentality. He's brought play hard, play tough, get the most out of every player. And he's done a great job with that. They got an unfortunate break earlier this year when they lost Chris Smith for the year because he was a special player. But you look at UCLA right now, they haven't won a game in the NCAA since, I believe, 2017. They face Michigan State. I mean, that's incredible because Michigan State's a very, very dangerous team. Any team that could, they were in the 500 in their conference, but they had hit by COVID. They missed 17 days and they had to come back and play 3 road games in a row in the Big Ten, lost all 3 of them. But then they got the ship going in the right direction. In a matter of about 8 to 10 days, they beat Illinois, Ohio State, and Michigan. We're talking about 3 teams that were in the top 5 in the country.
Right.
So my feeling is, in a play-in, you get a team like Michigan State who can beat. They've proven that they can beat teams in the top 5. They beat 3 of them. They're a dangerous team. I was on with Stephen A. Smith the other day, and we talked about sleepers. I said, well, you talk about a sleeper. What about a team like Michigan State who's proven already they can beat the Giants? So I think that could be a tough, tough game for UCLA. The key player in that game could be a kid by the name of Aaron Henry. He's got a really great, great talent. He's really a kid that can carry a team. So that's a tough opening game for Mick Cronin.
I know you're on a tight schedule, Dick, so one last thing here. You've got Gonzaga winning it all. Can you tell us the rest of your predicted Final Four?
Yeah, you know, I'm going Big Ten. It was the best conference in basketball. Illinois, Ohio State to beat Baylor. Illinois to move on as well. And I got also Michigan. I think Michigan might have a little problem at playing without the kid Livers, who's got a foot injury, and that's a major loss. You know, I mentioned the UCLA, a guy that's got to come up big for them in terms of the game against when they play Michigan State is Johnny Juzang.
Yep.
And also the kid Tiger Campbell, who can pass the basketball. But saying all that, I got Gonzaga winning it all. I got Gonzaga going 32-0.
Dick, we really appreciate it. By the way, I know you recently turned 81, Dick, so congratulations.
Wow.
What a great career
happy
you've
birthday.
Had.
81, and I act about 12. Hey, guys, do me a favor, though, Steve, and certainly John. Tell people to go to DickVitale.com, and they can help me raise money for kids battling cancer. That's my biggest
Amen.
Obsession now, is trying to help kids battle cancer. Just go to DickVitale.com. They can make a donation. It goes through the V Foundation. Remember my buddy Jimmy V.
Sure.
But they can buy my books. I autograph them. Anything you want me to write on any of the books I have. And every dollar that I would make goes in a pot and goes. We've raised $37 million so far with my gala for kids.
Good for you, Dick, and we'll do that and encourage people to go to DickVitale.com. Most of all, be safe, and thank you for doing this.
Oh, no problem whatsoever, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there is Dick Vitale, the great Dick Vitale, the legendary Dick Vitale.
You know, I read a story about him once, Mace, that he is he's that guy that if you meet him in an airport,
yeah,
he'll say, give me your address. I'm going to send you something. And he always does.
Wow.
Like when he says that he'll sign something for you or if you make a donation, he'll send a book to whoever you want. That guy. He's the guy that will stay up all night until every request is filled. So
yeah.
That's a really good charity.
That is cool. I still go back to, I think I have this right. Go back to the ultimate state-of-the-art college broadcasting crew was Dick Enberg, Al McGuire, and Billy Packer.
Right, I agree.
That was a great, great broadcast. And that probably ended in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, remember Billy Packer left and went to CBS.
That's right.
And,
That's right.
You know, the last time we had, and then Billy retired. Do you remember the last time we had Billy on, what he was absolutely obsessed with, couldn't get enough of it?
No.
It was the OJ trial. He would say, guys, I'll come on, but it's got to be where there's a break in the trial, because that's all I do is watch the trial. And we did a whole interview with him, because it was before the verdict and everything, about, like, he goes, let me tell you what I think's happening. The glove, it doesn't fit. I think that's going to be a big part of this thing. He's, like, analyzing it like it was a game. It was he couldn't get enough of the OJ trial.
Yeah, so. I worked with him at the Olympics. I think in 2000, he did the play-by-play for the U.S. Olympic team. That was not a good year, right? 2000 was the year we
No, they lost. John Thompson was the coach, year. And they lost. Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. Him and the other guy I love is PJ Carlissimo. Carlissimo is awesome too.
Yeah. Well, were you here when we had him on last week, or was that one of the days you were gone?
One of the days I was gone. Yeah. I love PJ though. Yeah. He's great. I worked with him at the Olympics too. All right. Coming up next for you is
Radio Tinder.
It is one of the most, if not the most, highly listened to features on the show, we are told. And that's coming up next with Lindsay, Mason, and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Radio Tinder time. Lindsay, what do you got for us?
All right, guys, we're going to start in Chicago, where the Bears have ended their quest to trade for Russell Wilson yesterday, but they certainly tried really, really hard to get him. Dan Patrick said that the Seahawks turned down 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 starters who were not named in exchange for Wilson, and then Seahawks said they're not looking to trade him. And after the Bears signed quarterback Andy Dalton, Adam Schefter revealed that the same thing as Dan Patrick, basically they went all in on him. So I guess my question for you guys is, do you think that with this Andy Dalton news, are the Bears really going to go into week 1 with Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be their starting quarterback. I think that, why would you start Andy Dalton over Mitch? Mitch Trubisky has a winning record as a starter.
He is a free agent. Mitch Trubisky is also out on the market.
Right. But do you think that they're not going to bring him back?
I think Mitch Trubisky is a backup somewhere. I do not believe they bring Mitch Trubisky back.
I think that GM in Chicago is going to get fired if Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback for the Bears. He's the one who passed on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes to take Trubisky.
Yeah, it's not going to be Trubisky. If it's Dalton, you're right. There is absolute trouble there.
And do they
feel tailor-made to be a backup, but they must be holding out. So they've turned down a bucket of everything for Russell Wilson?
No, other way around. Seattle turned it down.
Seattle turned it down. They said they're just not looking to trade him right now. So then they turn around and are like, oh, I guess we're going to sign Andy Dalton, which, like you said, Mace, I think that he's a backup quarterback, but he did start in Cincinnati for all those years, and so I feel like he's just high profile enough, and he's won just enough games for them to be like, you know what, let's sign this guy, and we'll start him, and we'll draft somebody, and we'll see what happens. I feel like he's not known league-wide yet as a total backup.
I'll just say this. When the guys in charge of the Sacramento Kings, the front office led by Vlade Divac, passed on Luka and Trae Young – and drafted Marvin Bagley, the writing became on the wall immediately that they were going to, and within 2 years, they were out. This guy passed, I think his name is Ryan Pace.
Yep.
He passed on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and moved up in the draft to take Trubisky. And now he's replacing him with Andy Dalton. That guy, they're going to have a new GM.
Yeah, I mean, I look at those guys. I guess they're placeholders. Like I asked about Tyrod Taylor in Houston. Maybe that's the guy if they do trade Deshaun Watson. Andy Dalton in Chicago if they don't get a higher profile quarterback. Cam Newton with the Patriots. I think he is a backup quarterback in this league. But at the moment, he's the only quarterback. I guess they still have Jared Stidham. But Cam Newton is, I guess if you started the year right now, he would be the starter. I don't think any of those guys are guys that are going to win you a bunch of games. So maybe they're signing these guys to be potentially backups if they can acquire somebody better. But no, I think Andy Dalton would be a disappointment as the game one starter in Chicago.
If I'm a Bears fan, all I know is that if Andy Dalton's my starting quarterback, I'm not a Bears fan anymore. That's for sure.
Bring a bucket and a mop. Bring a bucket and a mop.
That's all it takes to get you out. All right, what's next?
All right. A woman who previously worked for Apple has revealed that being polite to staff in the stores can really pay off thanks to the company's surprise and delight policy. In a TikTok video captioned Apple Tips and Tricks, Tanny Corner Store explained, I used to work for Apple, so first thing, rude customers, we got some psychos in that store. But if you're rude to the geniuses or the concierge, you will get your problem fixed most likely, but you're going to pay for it. But then you come across some really amazing people, and there was a team that Apple used called, a term that Apple used called surprise and delight. So essentially, every genius and staff member had a quota. They were able to go above and beyond and surprise customers. I used to see it a lot. People would come in with water-damaged phones, and you're not allowed to replace those without a fee. But the geniuses used the surprise and delight to be able to give somebody a free replacement. So when you guys have an issue with a product or a service, and you have to like call and complain or try and fix the issue, are you typically pleasant to deal with? Swipe left or swipe right?
By the way, there's an Apple store in the mall that's connected to the development where I live in. So I'm in that Apple store all the time. And Mace, this is the old you get more bees with honey theory.
Yeah.
If you're nice to those guys, they will bend over backwards to help you. They have been so nice until my mom had an issue last week and she went in there and they were great to her. Those, you know, most of the time, and I worked as a waiter, most of the time the people that scream and yell, those aren't the people that you're taking care of. You're taking care of the people that come at you with kindness.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Apple Store is a place where customer service is at a premium. I always get great customer service at Apple. The other place I always get customer service and the employees seem to be very, very happy is Trader Joe's. Everybody at Trader Joe's is always happy. People at Whole Foods are not. People at Trader Joe's, happy. People at Ralph's, no. People at Trader Joe's, happy. I don't know why that is.
No, my Ralph's is great.
Really?
But you know, maybe because I'm in there all the time, but they're great.
But I heard Trader Joe's gives employees like stock benefits or something like that, so they feel invested in the place. So Trader Joe's and Apple, both great customer service. And you know, there's stuff, I don't know if they still do this, but Nordstrom, when we used to have department stores, would take anything back, even if you had already worn it for a while. They would just take it back. So that's
another
great
customer
service.
I've had bad luck at Best Buy.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I've had to use Best Buy, I haven't had a great customer service experience. But so I tend not to go there anymore. But all the other places, I've had pretty good customer service.
Mace, you strike me as somebody who might be a little bit difficult to deal with if you have a problem with something.
I was difficult one time, officially one time in my life.
I'm when not was a that time?
Person. I was at the Detroit airport. I was trying to get a flight.
Oh, geez, airport guy.
I was trying to get a flight. And I could not get on it. I was trying to get back to L.A. in order to do my show. I'd done play-by-play for the Toledo Mudhens. And there was a terrible snowstorm. And there were seats open on this plane. And I ended up tweeting at United Airlines. And you know what? They got directly back to me. I think probably because I had a decent following on Twitter.
Right,
they didn't want
but
any
that's
of that.
A case of the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If you don't do that, you probably don't get on that plane.
Right. But it is kind of a jerk thing. It is a little bit of a don't you know who I am kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly.
I love when people do that, especially with airlines. It feels like with the airlines, that's like a thing with famous people.
Yeah, I don't put myself in that category. But yeah, it did work that night. So that's the one time I'm a jerk. Otherwise, I'm a perfectly nice guy to deal with. I mean, Excuse me. Sorry about that.
All right. Well, speaking of perfectly nice people, Shaq and Candace Parker continue to have uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is weird.
This is great.
Yeah. They have awkward, uncomfortable arguments on Inside the NBA. On Tuesday night, Shaq suggested the WNBA lower their rims so that players could dunk. Here is what it sounds like.
I think they should lower the rims so they can dunk in the WNBA. Nobody, I don't know about you, Candace, but that's what I think.
Nobody likes to see layups.
Candace, of course, completely disagreed with that. Before I get into social media's reaction, do you guys agree with Shaq's suggestion? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, it is so demeaning. It really is. It's so condescending. We'll lower the rims for you. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him and Candace Parker. Candace Parker, that Tuesday night show is basically like Candace Parker teaches Shaq about basketball. She took him to school on screen and roll basketball last week. Now Shaq is...
We'll lower the rims for you.
I just think it's very condescending, and I don't agree with Shaq at all.
I think you're not considering something. When I was in college,
yep.
One of our favorite things to do was go play short hoops. In other words, you find an elementary school where the rims are lower, and you go play, and it's, you know, normally I'm not tall enough to dunk on a 10-foot hoop, but I can dunk on an 8-foot hoop, and it was as much fun as you could have. I think it would be incredibly fun for the women who got to play on the 8-foot hoops. As long as you did it on every level, like, you know, that's what would make it hard, because if you're at a high school, you would have to have some rims at 10 feet and some rims at 8 feet.
But women don't want that special treatment. That's not what women are looking for. That's not what NBA athletes are looking to be taken seriously. They want to play on the same
courts with
the same baskets as the men.
Why? They're not playing against them. As long as everybody's playing with the same level. Why it would be hard to execute is that youth basketball, all the hoops are 10 feet.
Sure.
So you can't go back and you know, reinvent hoops and you know, higher and lower. It'd be really hard. Matter of fact, because of Title IX, if you were at a school, you would have to have the same amount of 8-foot hoops that you would 10-foot hoops. So Shaq didn't really think this idea through. But playing on an 8-foot hoop is super fun. The girls would love it. It's like
I think
see some spectacular plays.
I think women would find that to be demeaning. Lindsay, what do you think?
I think so, and I want to point out that Candace Parker already dunked on the hoops that they have. So
she dunked on the real one, yeah.
Yeah, but I think she's one of only three or four people who's ever dunked in the WNBA, right?
Sure, but as one Twitter user pointed out, Steph Curry, Trae Young, and Kyrie Irving, they're three of the top 10 highest-selling jerseys in the NBA this year, right?
Yep.
Those three guys, they've combined for one dunk. So.
Right.
Yeah, the dunk is really not what it used to be.
Yeah.
The three-point shot is the new dunk.
Yeah, Shaq just doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to get in a fight about next. They get in a fight like every week.
Every single week.
It's
and
crazy.
You know what's clear to me is that Shaq wants things to go back to the way they were, and Candace is trying to drag him into the future.
Shaq is turning into get off my lawn guy.
He is. What happened to guys who...
What happened to guys who stand back to the basketball?
I mean, that, it's
yeah,
that, it,
Shaq is too smart to become that guy. Like I think he's doing it on purpose.
You do.
I don't know. I love watching that show. That's one of my favorite shows to watch, even if I'm not going to be watching the game. But I feel like he's kind of turning into one of those like curmudgeon-y guys, and he's making himself a little bit unlikable.
Right, but if he didn't do that, would you still watch the show?
Probably.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's entertaining, but he's kind of demonstrating that he doesn't know the modern game the way, for example, Candace Parker does.
You know, what's interesting, too, is when, I don't know if you guys watched that Inside documentary on Inside the NBA, that four-parter that aired
right.
last week.
Not yet, but I'm going to.
Oh, it's
like
great.
Starting tonight, I forgot about it.
And one of the stories that they told was when Shaq first started, he was terrible. And it went 2 or 3 weeks, and Tim Kiley, who's the EP of that show, called Kenny, Charles, and Ernie into a meeting and just MF'd them up and down and screamed at them and said, you guys aren't giving Shaq a chance. You're not giving him a chance to talk. You're not putting him in situations where he can look good. You guys are just hammering him, and it's ridiculous. He doesn't stand a chance unless you guys back off. And after Kiley yelled at Ernie, it was basically not at Ernie, but it was more at Kenny and Charles. Kenny looked at Kiley and goes, since when do we not make fun of people? And Kiley went, you know what? You're right. Get out of my office. Go back to what you were doing. So I think Shaq
But I saw Shaq do something. Like, he had that Spider Mitchell moment, which was really weird this year. He had a moment where he was interviewing. They gave him Christian Wood. It was after a Houston game. Christian Wood. And Shaq opened up by saying,
We have that. Jorge can play that real quick.
Do you actually have that one, the Christian Wood moment?
Shaq, I owe you an apology. I wasn't really familiar with your game and, you know, how you travel.
Oh, man, you're a casual.
You know, playing out, you know.
I mean, the guy scored 22 points a game. I wasn't familiar with your game.
He's right.
Who leads with that? I don't even know who you are is basically the opening question.
But I think part of it, too, is I think it's kind of Shaq being Shaq. Like, I walked into a game in Philadelphia once with Shaq. We're on the same bus. This is when he was playing. And he goes, hey, why is Ashton Kutcher out on the court shooting baskets? And I went, it's not Ashton Kutcher. It's Kyle Korver. He just looks like him. And Shaq goes, no, that's Ashton Kutcher. I've met him. I go, Shaq, I swear to you, it's not Ashton Kutcher. It's Kyle Korver. He goes, you want to bet? I go, I'm not going to bet you. I know I'm right. It's not Ashton Kutcher. It's Kyle Korver. He goes, chicken. And he gives me a big smile, and he walks into the locker room.
Classic.
I think he's doing stuff to mess with Candace.
Okay, so Sedano just texted.
Debate.
Did you see Sedano's text? Sedano just texted and said, John, you are 100% right about Shaq. He said he wants to go viral every show.
Right. So I think that's what he's doing.
So then it appears to be working.
He wanted me to go on the air and say, hey, before the game, Ashton Kutcher was shooting baskets and Shaq noticed. But I didn't take the bait. But that's what he was trying to get me to do.
This segment, thank you very much, Lindsay. Good stuff. This segment on 710 ESPN brought to you by Santa Monica Lincoln, your Los Angeles Lincoln dealership for sales and service. Coming up next for you, what is going on with LeBron James and buying into the Boston Red Sox? We've got some details on that coming up, and I've got a piece of breaking Rams news too. That is coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.